Fire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info, a very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for being a part of our morning today on The Crossfire. We have shows for you back to back on Nigeria Info every day, so you don't want to miss out on anything here on Nigeria Info. It's always a great pleasure to know that you are there. And thank you. Thank you for making Nigeria Info the nation's number one station for talk. I'm Sherif Quadri. Now, let's have you know that we are streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube as we speak. So please be a part of our online community. We'd like for you to also engage with us as we having conversations here on radio. We also have same conversations online as well. And it will be a very good, great pleasure to know that you are there. So this morning, we'll be continuing with our conversation that we had last week. We didn't conclude on that. And that is about postpartum depression. Worldwide, about 10% of pregnant women and 13% of women who have just given birth experience a mental disorder, primarily depression. In developing countries, this even is very high, 15.6% during pregnancy and 19.8% after childbirth. And guess what? Nigeria is in this bracket. So last week, we tried to take a look at a few areas of postpartum depression. We took some calls. We, you know, had some engagement last week with Dr. Omobolawa Akonde Akinyemi, who is a senior resident doctor, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. She joins us via Skype this morning. Dr. Omobolawa, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for returning to the show this week.
I'm glad to be here. I'm always happy to come and talk about things I'm passionate about.
Awesome, awesome. Now, if we can get started, please, if you've got questions for my guests, feel free to throw your questions in via the online portal that we are streaming from. Let's quickly, again, establish the foundation of this conversation, Dr. Omobolawa, so that we can, you know, just let, in case people that missed the show last week, they can understand what we're talking about, what we're discussing, before we delve into other areas that we couldn't touch last week. Again, Dr. Omobolawa, what is postpartum depression and what are the signs and symptoms?
Okay, so quickly to recap, we talked about some mental, emotional, and behavioral disorders that occur in women after they give birth. And I mentioned that the commonest one, which occurs in about 70 to 80% of women, is what we call baby blues, which resolves spontaneously, does not need treatment, just being weepy, feeling disconnected, feeling out of sorts, you know, mood swings and all of that. That tends to subside within 2 weeks without any intervention. It's normal. But there's something that occurs in about 10 to 15% of women, and that's called postpartum depression, which is what we're talking about primarily. And that is a disorder of mood in which women, after they give birth, after persisting beyond 2 weeks, they have these persistent feelings of sadness, feeling like they're no longer interested in doing things they used to enjoy doing. They can't sleep very well. They have poor appetite, reduced appetite, difficulty concentrating, low self-esteem, pessimistic thoughts, weepy spells, feeling that there's something wrong with them, or there's something wrong with their partner or their baby, and just feeling disconnected, having thoughts of harming themselves and all of that. So that's depression. Then there's a rare condition, which a lot of people spoke about, which occurs in about 1% of people that give birth, and that's what we call puerperal psychosis. And that's when there's this disconnect, loss of contact with reality, seeing things that are not there, hearing things that are not there, suspiciousness, false beliefs, disorganized behavior, and all of these are all medical conditions that occur as a result of childbirth.
In fact, the recap is so amazing. 12 minutes past the hour. Please, we're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That is Nigeria Info 99.3. We're taking your questions from there, as well as on our Facebook page, Nigeria Info 99.3, where we're streaming live as well. WhatsApp number is also pretty much available to you to to let us know exactly the question that you've got for Dr. Omobolawa this morning. WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. Please take that again. Take it down. 0809-597-5805. Dr. Omobolawa, now let's dive into some of the areas that we didn't talk about, we couldn't cover last week. And one of such is self-stigma. What is this exactly and how common is this?
Okay, self-stigma is a phenomenon in which people who have any condition, in this case, postpartum depression, start to internalize certain feelings. They start to feel that because they have this condition, that they are not good enough. They cannot tell people around them that, oh, I'm going through this. I can't sleep. I'm hearing things. I feel that there's something wrong. Because they believe that if they seek the help that they need, that people will look down on them and say, oh, you're a weak person. It's very common. You're so weak. You cannot even cope with taking care of a baby. Or they'll start to attribute it to spiritual causes. Are you sure it's not a form of demonic attack? And then there might even be some sort of derogatory comments from family members and all of that. And so because of that, people that have this problem and unable to receive the help that they require, they just suffer in silence. And so it's very important for people that have any condition that they don't self-stigmatize, they don't look down on themselves.
Yeah.
This is a medical condition and they should seek for help from family members, from church members, from trained medical professionals.
How do they exactly know that they're suffering from self-stigma? How do they become self-aware, or someone else has to notice this in them? I mean, how do they become aware that this is the problem that they're having?
Okay, now it's most times people don't know that they're having self-stigma. So that's why we're talking about it. They just believe that there's something wrong with them. They see their illness or their condition as some form of weakness on their part, or there's some sort of that there's some, they don't see it as a medical condition. When you understand what is going on, then you're able to put it in its proper place. It's not that I'm lazy, you know, because some of these symptoms of depression can come with what we call constitutional symptoms. The person just feel not like doing anything, like not getting out of bed, like not making their hair and all of that. And then having these strange beliefs that, oh, I know I'm not this type of person. And then this member is like, oh, there's something wrong with me. Now they'll say that I'm mad. Oh, they'll say that I'm lazy and all of that. So when you know that there's a medical reason and there's a treatable, there's something that can be treated, then you're able to ask for help. So
indeed. Now let's move on to another issue concerning postpartum depression, and that is the management of postpartum depression. Last week you heard a couple of the callers who said that they had to send, you know, their wives to the village, even though we couldn't get you know, females to call in last week because we had our female lines down last week. But the female line is back up this week, so hopefully we'll get questions from females themselves this week. But what is the management like? How can one begin as a relative, maybe the husband, for instance, or the boyfriend of any lady in question now, to begin to think of medical management of what is it really, the medical management of postpartum depression?
Okay, so the medical management, as I've mentioned, depends on the severity. Usually we categorize a postpartum depression into mild, moderate, or severe. Now, when it's a mild condition, it's usually something that has to be diagnosed in the hospital.
Okay.
So usually, best practice is that where you're receiving antenatal care, where you're seeing your where your postpartum care, where you go for your 6 weeks appointment, or where your baby's taking your vaccination, you can talk to the nurses or talk to the people there and say, oh, I can't sleep and I can't, I'm feeling this way. Ideally, they should now refer you to a place that has a multidisciplinary center. The commonest places I know that they have that is, I know that they have it in GH, they have it in Bagada, they have it, or they could loose lassos and all of that.
Yeah.
When you're there, they will assess you. When they now make a diagnosis, they'll say, oh, you just need, they can do, give you some things like counseling for you and your partner and your family members. They might just tell you, oh, you need to do some exercises, you need to change your sleeping pattern and all of that for the mild one. But if it is something that is a bit more severe, then you might have to do what we call structured therapy.
Okay.
There's what we call cognitive behavioral therapy. There's also what we call psychotherapy, family dynamics therapy, depending on what they're able to identify as a cause, because there's so many things that can contribute to this. Then at the later end, you might also need to take medications that help to correct the imbalance. It's not a lifelong thing. It's just something that you take for a little while until you get better.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that you could do. Then there are things like exercise, relaxation, calming, and all of those things. All those things together really help to treat postpartum depression. And it's always easier, better when you catch it in the early phases. Because one of the things I did not mention last week is that the effects of postpartum depression is not only on the mother and her spouse. It also has some effects on the child.
Oh.
They found out that people, women that have postpartum depression, their children are smaller in size.
Oh.
They have developmental challenges, yes. Because of that lack of bonding, you know, we are social creatures.
Yeah.
If they don't bond very well with their mother, it affects them. So, and these change problems are seen all the way to adolescence and adulthood. It's been shown that women who have postpartum depression, their children are at increased risk of having postpartum depression and other conditions because of this. So it's very important that when you catch it, you quickly treat it, because they found out that when you treat it quickly, the children that their mothers had postpartum depression catch up, and there's really not much difference between them and their peers. So that's why it's very important, not only for the mother, but also for the child.
Incidentally, Dr. Mobalawa, I have a question regarding mother and child relationship, but let's go to the telephone and take some questions in so we can fulfill our promise. Already 19 minutes inside the hour. So let's take some questions in before I ask my next question concerning mother-child relationship as regards postpartum depression. 0700-993-993-993. Female-only line is 01465-7190. I'll take that again, 01465-7190 for the female-only line. Please, when you're calling us, go straight to the point. If you would love to be anonymous, it's okay. It's allowed to be anonymous. We appreciate that. Or if you want to send us messages on WhatsApp, feel free to send in your thought via WhatsApp. WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. Let me take this WhatsApp message first. This person says, can this problem also happen to a mother who has a baby via adoption?
Okay, that's an interesting question. Well, it's been found out that part of the causes of postpartum depression is what we call role transition.
Okay.
So when you're becoming a mother for a new baby, there are some changes. You know, you don't sleep well, you're anxious about the mother. So any life change can predispose you to depression. But in reality, it is not a postpartum depression. Postpartum depression is just that, okay, I had a child and all of that. It happens to women who have given birth. There can be depression due to life events. You know, you had this idea of what it would be like, you would bond with this child, and then you're having some difficulties. So it's possible for those type of transitions to lead to depression. But in the strict sense, that is not a postpartum depression. That could be a depression, a different type of depression, just normal depression. I hope you're following.
I think it's clear. I honestly think it's clear. Good morning to you.
Good
morning to you.
How are you?
Very well.
I like that question you asked before. But what I want to add now, is there anyhow when people can help, like the government can help? As in, if a woman wants to deliver a baby or a child, at least can government make it at least that is free of charge, you go to a general hospital and deliver your baby, or it makes they adjust price? Because I think that women that are about to deliver, what they carry on their head is tumor, and that is what is it is that is causing all this depression, BP, and all the rest.
Okay.
Then our government can intervene, as in, if you want to deliver free of charge or 50%, or anyhow, if anyhow they can help.
All right. I'm getting you. Thank you. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Let's take another one quickly.
Hello,
good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Please, you need to turn off your radio quickly.
Hello, good morning.
Your radio needs to be off quickly.
Hello, good morning. I'm calling into the show.
Welcome.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go on, please.
Hey, good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, please, my question is this. Is it possible for a woman who comes down with postpartum depression to die?
Okay.
Does it kill?
Does it kill?
Pregnant situation.
Okay.
Yes, because I have a friend who died after she was, you know, after having her baby. She was already almost a month after, and then she died of postpartum depression.
How exactly did she die?
Well, we just got to understand that she was hospitalized after the baby's naming.
Okay.
And then she was hallucinating or seeing some things out of context. So, you know, she wanted to run out of the house and stuff like that. And before you know it, she was incoherent. She was in a coma. And the next thing, she died.
Oh.
Okay.
That's so unfortunate. All right, let's have the doctor respond to that.
Okay, I'm so sorry to hear about that. That would have been such a terrible, distressing thing to experience. Well, to be honest, postpartum psychosis and depression can lead to death, but usually the commonest cause of death in people that have postpartum depression is suicide or accidental deaths. You know, they were restless and disorganized. They went out. Or I've had some people that have jumped down from the from the first floor down to the floor and all of that.
100-993-993-993. And the female-only line is 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Mr. Fodri, good morning.
Yes, please.
And I greet you, our guest. I am sort of curious because I never had it in my generation. I'm almost 70. And Achike, that is going to be your guest on Monday, happens to be my last sibling, my youngest sibling. You know, my mother never had it, and she had 10. And we didn't know about this in our growing up. 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And we didn't have psychiatric hospitals. I want to find out from the doctor whether it is a now thing that we're experiencing PPD. Now thing. I want to find out whether it's a now thing. And then secondly, is it fear of labor then, or is it stress of pregnancy that provokes a PPD? Thank you very much.
Thank you to you for calling. We're going to speak with Halima. Halima, hi. Morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much, doctor. And thank you a lot for all this, Sherry. You see, women go through a lot when they give birth to kids, and the support, even family support, is not there. For instance, when I gave birth to my first child, my mother insisted she had to come. And believe it or not, I had to cook for her. She hold the baby when I'm looking for her.
What?
And when I'm done, you know, I'll give her the food. I'll take my baby back. And tonight, I still breastfeed the baby. You know, so there's so many things that could actually lead to this postpartum depression when you don't have enough care from people, when even family members are not giving you the care that you truly need. And sometimes women go through this postpartum depression without even knowing. Sometimes like a flight, you know, and then you're seen as a woman, you're supposed to keep up all the time. When I get back from the hospital, I'm going to think of how I'm going to get my husband's food ready. All these things are things that, you know, can actually make a woman just feel that, God, where is the help coming from? You know, so I feel that apart from going to antenatal care, talking about how the baby's going to be fine, I think it's going to be wonderful if parents, you know, or loved ones that are going to be caregivers eventually are also giving, you know, pamphlets on how to take care of the of the mother when they get home. Thank you very much.
Makes sense, Halima. Makes sense. Good contribution. Dr. Mobolawa, you are going to respond to what Halima said.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the first caller. And he said that when he was younger, he didn't know about postpartum depression and a lot of these mental conditions. I can say that since the time before Jesus Christ, since the time of Hippocrates, which is about 3,000 years before the birth of Christ, God. It's been written that women have had depression, mood symptoms. All through, they didn't know what it was. They used to call them, even in the Middle Ages, they'll call them uncaring mothers, women that could just not bond with their babies and all of that. And then they used to attribute it to witchcraft, that how can people that are looking for a child have a child and not care and all of that. So this is not a new condition.
Okay.
Even as I mentioned that even in culture, in Yoruba culture, we had what we called abisinwe. We didn't know what it was. They felt that, oh, some people, when they just give birth, they're just sad or they just... So it's always been there. It's increasing enlightenment that is making it. People would have it and just get over it, or people would die and nobody would really talk about it. But because we are now in an information age and information is power, people now have all these resources at their fingertips. So we shouldn't think it's a modern thing.
Okay.
The hospital I work in, Neuropsychiatric Hospital Yaba, was established in 1904. And it's not the first in Nigeria. So we've had places where we had to take people that had psychological and psychiatric disorders. They've always been with us. The second thing is causes of postpartum depression. The causes are, we are biological, psychological, and social beings. So it's an interplay of these factors that lead to postpartum depression.
Right.
When you give birth, there are some changes in your hormones that predispose you. There are sleep changes. You're not sleeping well. Then there are increased pressures, you know, caring for this child, caring for your husband, financial pressures. Is this child sick? Am I sick? And then mother-in-law on my case. I wanted a boy. I got a girl. I wanted a girl. I wanted a boy. And all of those things. And so all these things together is like what we call a perfect storm. There's a high incidence of people coming down with this type of condition in that time. And she said so that the management is just not medications. It has to be a whole community. Our culture used to be protective. You know, when I was growing up, if someone gives birth, your mother is there, your mother's sister, your mother-in-law, everyone is there, in and out. You know, if I don't even see the baby, everybody sit down here and all of that. But because we are becoming more and more westernized, some of those protective factors, we are losing them. And those pressures over there, if you give birth, the doctor call them the health inspector, is going to come to your house and come and check out your house, make sure you have support. If she sees you are struggling, they give you that form of support. But we haven't gotten there. But we are losing some of the things that are productive, your mother-in-law and all of that. So we have to be, as a society, try to come up with a way that we can have those protective factors, you know, pending when the government and everybody comes in, but as we have to be there for one another.
Yeah.
I know it's, so that's some of the things we can do. Provide support. Spouses have to be aware that, my house used to be flawless. My wife used to be perfect, but now she might not be able to meet all these roles. And it's just for a little while because of what she's going through at this time.
Right. Let's jump on another call. We have some calls waiting for us. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. This is Mercy. I'm calling from Alimosho.
Welcome, Mercy.
Good morning.
Okay, Kodre, God will bless you for this wonderful topic that you people are bringing.
You too.
This postpartum,
postpartum depression, yes.
Uh-huh. See, in the village, it has rendered a lot of women useless. People, when they start behaving like that, when you hear that, that person is mad now, and they start treating them as mad people, they will not take care of them. So I urge this woman or the government, let them go to rural areas, educate them with the languages those people understand. People don't really know. When it happens like this, they will say that person is mad. They will change the person. They won't even bother to take the person to hospital. So that is my own. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the contribution. Appreciate it. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, my name is Ngozi from Lekki.
Welcome,
Ngozi. What I think women should do to, you know, solve this postpartum depression problem is that you should not expect help after they put to bed. You know, we expect so much help, and when the help does not come, the person goes into depression. So you just learn how to prepare yourself that after you put to bed, whether you get any mother-in-law or your mother, whether mother is coming or mother-in-law is not coming, just find a way to manage yourself. Because everybody will suggest that the children will want to eat, husband will want to eat, you need to run your home. You will still have to do all those other things that you were doing before you gave birth. And when that help does not come, you know, you now become sick. So women should learn how to shut down, manage themselves, do what they are supposed to do, focus on what is happening at the moment. If something, if it's something you can do, you do. If it's not something you can do, you forget about it. Let people tell you that you're lazy, you, since you put to bed, you've not been doing your school runs or doing what you're supposed to do. Just, you know, don't worry yourself about things that you're not getting right. Focus on helping yourself to get through the postpartum process. If you're able to manage yourself and look after yourself, you will not, you know, when you expect help and it doesn't come, that is what causes that postpartum depression.
Okay.
So that's what I think women should do. Just forget about getting help. Because once you don't get that help, you're in trouble.
Ngozi, thank you. Dr. Mabala, I'll come to you on Ngozi's point of view, but Abiodun has been waiting for some time. He's calling us from Agodo. Abiodun, morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Please, I'm so interested in this topic this morning.
Okay.
Yes, I have a question. A friend of mine, it happened that his brother's wife, when she got back to the firstborn, on the day of naming, this thing occurred that he became, I can't say lunatic, but just like what you think. And they take care of her.
Okay.
And later also, when she gave birth to the second child, this thing reoccurred. So I want to know if it's this postpartum depression thing. And also, it has occurred that even when she's not nursing children right now, the thing just reoccurred again, just with the currently, and she's out of the country for treatment. So I want to know if it's all traceable to postpartum.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Abiodun, for calling. Dr. Mabala, all my lines are blinking, but let's quickly attend to the last two calls, if we may. Let's start with Ngozi's own that says whether women can be psychologically prepared while they're pregnant for what's to come after birth.
Okay, so that's a very good question. Some of the interventions that we are trying in to incorporate for preventing postpartum depression is what we call psychoeducation, in which women, you know, there's this idealized picture of what giving birth is going to be. For me, I thought it would be taking care of beautiful pictures of my daughter, twinning, mommy, daughter, you know, and all of that. But there's some changes that women have to be aware are going to occur to them physically, emotionally, and all of that. Those things, yes, there's a part of psychoeducation and preparing, but human beings are different. Some people's capacity to cope differ from one another. Someone might be able to carry a 10 kg load and not feel it. Someone else can only carry 2 kg. And it's not weakness. It is not laziness. It's just that the way human beings are made are different. So some people will need psychological support, and we should not make it difficult for them to cry out and ask for it.
Dr. Mabala, we can't hear you again. I don't know what happened.
Psychologically, okay. Yes.
You're back now.
Okay, so I hope you could hear me.
Yes, we can hear you
women,
now.
Okay. So I said that some women, even with all of this, they need some of this psychological support. They need people around. You might have to pay for someone that is trained, you know, like a midwife or someone to come and help you if you're unable to cope, if you don't have that family. When I gave birth, my mom was still working, so she couldn't take so much time. So all those things had to be put in place. I had to pay for an elderly lady to come and help me because. So those are some of the things you have to. Everybody's case is different.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things you could do. Secondly, I think they mentioned this other man, and he said that, okay, so she's had postpartum depression first time, second time, yeah. and then even in not pregnant, she's having a breakdown. So that's something about it. If you have postpartum depression, especially one or two episodes, it predisposes you, especially when it's not well managed.
Okay.
If you don't manage it well, it predisposes you to coming down sometime in the future with a mental disorder. Because I said it's a biological thing. There's damage going on to the brain with every episode. So if it's not well managed, there's some injury to the brain that can come up again, even when the lady is didn't just give birth. So I think that I've answered your question.
Brilliant. Let's take some more questions. Calls are all over the place. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Okay. I wanted to comment on what the woman that called earlier said.
Okay.
And I think she got it when she's saying that women should not expect care. And I don't think that's right, because if you are, once a woman gives birth, it's only natural that someone, especially when you do you deliver through cesarean section, you cannot stand up after the surgery. So who is going to help you hold your baby? You need care.
I
don't think postpartum depression is as a result of expecting too much care. It can be one of the reasons, but not, you know, she got this wrong by saying women should not be expecting care. That's wrong. I think when women give birth, yes, they need care. And they are right for expecting care, because at that point, they are physically not strong to do the things that they would have done before childbirth. So I wanted the doctor to actually explain to us on that it's not because some people have all the care and they still experience postpartum depression. So in that instance, would you say they are expecting too much care? Meanwhile, they have all the care. You know, they have housemates, they have nannies, they have this around them, but they still feel depressed after childbirth. So I wanted the doctor to explain more on that.
Thank you. Thank you for your contribution. Appreciate it. Let's jump on another call. Hello, good morning to you.
Morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Hello?
We can hear you. Good morning to you.
Okay, morning, Sheriff. Good morning, Doctor. Thank you very
good
much
morning.
For this enlightening discussion. Honestly, a lot of us don't understand what this is. I didn't have postpartum depression when I... But I knew what to expect. I got all the help I could. I was working, and my mom was working, like your mom was working at that time. But I still got an elderly woman to help me. And sometimes the nannies that come are not what you expect. They can even add more to your condition. And going back to that woman that spoke earlier on, I think she's uninformed. She needs to be enlightened that postpartum depression has to do with you have expecting care. It might be it's a mental condition.
Okay.
So men are not primed for it. I can't take anything that comes my way because I've been through a whole lot of things. I know I'm very strong. I can take anything that comes my way, but not everybody can. So she should be, we all need to be enlightened about what postpartum depression is.
Okay.
And not to overly assume that you're expecting something. It's a layman's way of trying to underscore something that is very, very important. It's very, very dangerous, if I might add.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, let's go and take the men's calls. So it doesn't look like we're shutting them out this week. Last week, they dominated everywhere. Let's just take a few of their calls and we'll come back to the female line. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. Good
morning to you.
Yes, my name is Matthew. I'm calling from Lekki.
Welcome, Matthew.
Yes, I want to appreciate the doctor for a very good enlightenment on the topic. But I just wanted to, you know, contribute to... I think one of the major problem of this is maybe are we thinking about the pain during labor? You know, the pain and the psychological preparedness to before the birth, maybe during pregnancy.
Okay.
Like, would I be able to survive this?
Okay.
You know, the pain are pushing out, or with some other, you know, psychological things that go on even before the birth.
Okay.
And the pressures.
Okay.
So, and is there a possible way of maybe reducing labor pain? Because I've not really witnessed one, but, you know, during labor, that pain, it might just lead to something else. And maybe it could be one of the problems. So it's maybe a question like labor pain, how won't it be a major factor? And how can labor pain be reduced? So how can we help our ladies with, you know, labor pain and all of that. So okay. Thank you very much.
Matthew, brilliant. Dr. Mobola, you recall that we discussed this yesterday about the mode of giving birth, whether it has any direct link to postpartum depression. Let's do a recap for those. Apparently, Matthew missed last week's discussion. Let's do a recap of what we discussed.
Okay. To start with, I really want to reiterate what some of those women said, that it is not because of a weakness on the part of the woman or expectations. Postpartum depression happens to the richest women in the world, Brooke Shields, to the models, to the people that have all the money, that have all the support. So it is not a weakness or expectation and all of that. It happens. It's a medical condition. And we should not look down on women that have postpartum depressions and all as going forward. In addition, he was talking about the role of pain and all of that in postpartum depression. So really, giving birth through whatever form, normal delivery or cesarean section, is associated with a lot of pain. Or really, the mode of delivery does not predispose someone to having postpartum depression in itself. So cesarean, people that have cesarean section are not usually at more risk of having postpartum depression than women that have normal deliveries.
Right.
But there are certain things that could predispose in the delivery process, like having a difficult delivery, having instrumentation, and then problems with the child. If the child is sick, having to spend time in the ICU and all of that. So those can make the woman at increased risk, you know, being so worried and anxious about the child. That being said, it is good for us to have good obstetric practice, reduce the pain. But that is that's the obstetrician's department.
Right.
That's their own work.
Yeah.
Pain on its own is not really a factor like that in the development of postpartum depression. So I think,
Dr. Mobola, we have to leave it here, and we are not going to have another session on postpartum depression. Maybe sometime in the future, because the calls that I'm seeing here, they are quite tempting. But let's drop it here for now. We'll pick it up some other time. But I'd like to say a very big thank you to you for coming on twice, back to back Thursday. Thank you so much, Dr. Mobola, for joining us this week again.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Have a nice day. No. Before you go, please, can people reach out to you? Because I can't handle all the calls and the messages that will be coming in. Is there a way they can reach out to you?
Okay, so you can send me a message on my Instagram handle, which is psych, like psychology, psych_Bola on Instagram. You can follow me there and send me a message. I'll be able to direct you to the appropriate institutions for whatever you need help you need. So,
fantastic. Thank you, Dr. Mobolawa Akonde Akinyemi, Senior Resident Doctor, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. It's a pleasure, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Glad to be here.
All right.
So I can say bye-bye now.
Yeah, yes, we can say right. Bye-bye now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a lovely show.
You too. Bye. You too. Bye. Lagos, that's our show today. Thank you for being a part of it. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Sheriff Quadri across all social media platforms. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 on the Morning Crossfire. Jimidisu is next on Daily Digest. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.